A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles in the communal life, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's needs. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
I was hard pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. The joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
The stone which the builders rejected had become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Bless the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You who, by the power of God, are safeguarded through faith to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that is perishable even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him, you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, as you maintain the goal, your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The love of the Lord knows no ending. Sons of Israel, say, his love has no end.
Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you,
Lord.
I suppose I don't have to remind anybody that your taxes are due this week, federal taxes. You got a deadline coming up, right? If you want that refund, you gotta file it. Okay, so what about those of you who aren't due a refund? Let me come up with something that you might be able to relate to. Suppose there was somebody who was the richest person in the world, like you know, 10 times as much as Bill Gates, okay? And this guy decides, "I'm going to give everybody $10,000, but they have to ask for it." Would you ask for it? You probably would. And you probably kick yourself if you forgot to ask for it, right? Well, our Lord's mercy is kind of the same way. Much more valuable than $10,000. It's there for you, but you've got to ask for it. Today, as you heard Father mention, beginning of Mass, is Divine Mercy Sunday. It's sort of a new feast in the church. It was initiated by Pope St. John Paul II. It was inspired by the writings of Sister Faustina Kowalska, St. Faustina Kowalska, who was a Polish nun who had many, many mystic visions of Jesus. And in those visions, she was asked to make this poster, this image that we have up here. Jesus raising his hand in greeting, but also at the same time pointing to his heart, out of which these two beams of light flow, sort of recalling
the blood and water that flowed out of his heart. It's meant to symbolize the unlimited amount of mercy available coming from the heart of Jesus. And then down at the bottom, there's a little banner with the saying, Jesus, I trust in you. I know you guys can't see it where you're sitting, but take a look afterwards. Trust me, it's there. It's Jesus, I trust in you. St. Faustina received lots of messages from Jesus about his divine mercy, encouraging people to take advantage of the vast amount of mercy in his heart. But he also told St. Faustina many times how he was saddened that people did not take advantage of his divine mercy while there was still time to do so. See, as people of faith, we believe that Jesus' paschal sacrifice, his suffering, death, resurrection, was the means by which he purchased for us our eternal salvation. And he offers it to us as a gift. But we have to accept it, take it into our hearts, acknowledging him as our Savior, and then reforming our lives as a result. Now, every one of our readings today speaks some bit about God's divine mercy. You know, when we sang the psalm just a little while ago, his mercy endures forever. His love is everlasting. The psalmist says, sons of Israel, praise the Lord. His mercy endures forever. The guy who wrote this psalm was really happy because his sins had been forgiven. His heart felt light, you know, like Ebenezer Scrooge, giddy as a schoolboy, right? And that weight lifted off of his heart. Our second reading speaks of hope, the hope given to us through Christ's resurrection, calling it our inheritance, which can lead us to that same sort of joy. It brings us our salvation in our souls. Our gospel passage shows the very moment of the institution of the sacrament of confession, when Jesus breathed the Spirit on the Holy Spirit on the apostles. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. You know, a lot of people complain about confession. They say, I just can't confess my sins to a man. That's just, it's between me and God. I don't need a guy in between. Okay? Despite the clear scriptural evidence that that is how Jesus wanted it to work. He set up the church and the sacraments to be the means by which his divine mercy was dispensed out into the world. Okay? Thomas, good old doubting Thomas. This is why we have the sacraments set up the way we were. Thomas wanted to feel Jesus. He couldn't just take the other's word that Jesus was there. He had to feel for himself. And why is that? Well, it speaks to our human nature. This is why every one of the sacraments works the way it does. Now, last night, Father Kyle baptized a child right over there, okay? It was really cute little kid, and the whole family was wearing, like, pink ties and pink bows and things because it was a little girl, right? It was nice. Baptism itself, the word baptism comes from the Greek and it means to take a bath. So when we feel the dirt washing off of us by the water physically, so too does our soul feel its sins being washed away. Every sacrament has that. Something physical takes place that has its counterpart on the spiritual side of us. And so too with the sacrament of confession. We have to speak our sins. We have to speak our repentance. And then we have to hear with our ears that we are forgiven. So although it sounds like the voice of the priest who's in that little room with us, okay, it is God speaking through the priest to us. And we hear that forgiveness in our body and we feel it in our soul. When we can feel it, when we feel forgiven, we feel that same joy that our psalmist had. We can more easily forgive others who have slighted us in some way, shape, or form. We can sort of empathize with that first reading description of the ideal Christian community where they all shared things in common. They offered forgiveness to each other and they lived in the peace of Christ. Can you imagine what a different world we would live in if everybody could do that? If everybody availed themselves of divine mercy and then shared that with the people around them. The internet, for one, would be vastly different. You wouldn't have, you know, one person's got you this, next person, ha, I got you with that, got you, back and forth with each post. It could be a source of learning, knowledge, sharing, that it was intended to be when it was invented. Think about these mass shooters that we hear in the news all the time lately, it seems. These are people who feel so miserable. They just want to end it all. They want to get out of this world, but they want to take as many people with them as possible. Because they don't feel that forgiveness. They don't feel that mercy. That is the way of Satan. When Satan and the angels that followed him, that we now call demons, made the irreversible decision to reject God, from that moment on, they were miserable. And for all eternity, they will be miserable. And they want everyone else to be miserable too. And that is why we say Satan prowls around the world seeking the ruin of souls. Unless those souls take advantage of God's divine mercy. So let's always remember, God's mercy is ours for the asking. But we must ask, because our Lord asked us to. He says, pray for anything you wish in my name, and the Father will give it to you. The Father knows what we want. The Father knows what we need. But he wants us to acknowledge him. He wants us to acknowledge our dependence on him, our faith in him, our trust in him. Let's also remember that we can ask this for others. People ask you to pray for them, pray for them. Even people who don't ask you to pray for them. Everybody's got it somewhere in their family or their friends, someone who has fallen away from the church, someone who desperately needs God's mercy but can't ask for it for themselves because they don't know to do so. Pray for them. God loves it when we do things like that. We can pray for the souls in purgatory because we're still alive. We can work for an indulgence that the church offers, and instead of keeping it for ourselves, offer it for someone else. Offer it for someone's conversion. St. Faustina had many, many visions, and those were the kind of things that pleased Jesus very much. St. Faustina had a favorite of hers. It's something you may have heard. It's called redemptive suffering. I know you've heard it at least somewhere. Maybe when you were in grammar school and you hurt yourselves, and then that would say, offer it up. That's what we mean. When we're in pain ourselves, consciously make the effort to give that pain back to Jesus. Jesus, I offer this in union with your pain, your suffering on the cross for remission of sins, mine and whoever else you may deem it for. Just like St. Paul asked us, you know, filling up what is missing in the sufferings of Christ. St. Faustina reminds us that when we pray for others, when we sacrifice for others, it pleases Jesus greatly because he wants to dispense as much mercy as possible while it's still available. You and I may say, well, you know, she was a mystic, you know, she had this intimate connection with Jesus. Don't think that you're not a mystic too. When you are in good graces of the church and you come receive the Eucharist, you are having a mystical experience. Your body and soul are uniting with the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And that is the definition of a mystical experience. So when you receive our Lord today, if you're properly disposed, enjoy that moment, that brief, fleeting moment. You know, I started this homily reminding you about the deadline for your taxes, all right? We know when the deadline is for our taxes, okay? They print it on the form. We know it every year, the deadline. The deadline for asking for God's mercy is the moment of our last breath. And that is a time that is known only to God. So please, please, don't miss the deadline. God love you.